Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning. It's wonderful to see you all here, and for those listening in, welcome to you as well. Now, we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are about a people who love God, and we want to follow God according to His Word, the Bible, and we invite you to join us with us. Today, involved in the service are a number of people. I'll be helping with singing with Rosemary on the guitar, and Fiona will be on the keyboard. And also, Fiona will be leading us in prayer, and Simon's going to read the Bible passage to us today, this morning. Kids' Church is on, and we thank you for those involved in that this morning as well. Please stay for some morning tea after the service, if you're able to do so. Today is the Lord's Supper. It's a moment in the service where we remember not only God's great love for us in Christ Jesus in the taking of the Last Supper or Holy Communion together, but also of the Holy Communion, the common union that we have together that's holy, that's centered around Jesus and the love that we ought to have for one another as His family. And so as we take of that meal together, you're invited to do so. And can I encourage you, if you've not yet picked up one of the little individual cups with the wafers in it, to get that now. It's just at the back of the church. And also just to fiddle with it now, so it makes it easier to open it up when it comes to the time when we meet together, when we have that time. We continue our preaching time through the book of Acts, where we're thinking about what does the Word of God tell us so that we can be certain of the things that we've been taught. And today, the sermon title is called Salvation is Found in No Other Name, in No One Else, in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. Our mission focus in our prayer time continues to be this month on Kim Patterson and serving in South County, Dublin in Ireland, and also for those who are chaplains in our prisons with Anglicare. We'll support them and pray for them today as we have throughout this month. So let me begin by inviting you to pray with me this prayer that's on the screen together. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All our songs today, as with every Sunday, tie in with the preaching and teaching of the word, and our very first one reminds us that God speaks, and when God speaks, the world hears. Let's stand and sing the voice of the Lord. just recapping where we're up to for not only the kids in church, but for where we are too in our Bible teaching time. Jesus has been amongst us in the scriptures as we've read through Luke's gospel over the past year. And we realize that as he's died on the cross to make us right with him, and he's risen from the dead and ascended. And he'd promised to his apostles, his disciples, that they would continue his ministry, and that we can have the certainty of knowing that what they teach is what Jesus would want to teach. And the way in which he planned all that was to send his spirit, his person amongst them, and to empower them to do so. And so Pentecost has come. The Spirit of God has fallen upon the believers and upon all who put their trust in Jesus, and especially upon those apostles, to proclaim the gospel. And you remember that the gospel was preached to all those who were there. They could hear it in everyone's own language at the time. God's desire is for people to hear the good news about Jesus. And then we hear this little story about Peter, and we see the beginning of the apostles being like little Jesus all around, pointing glory to God, doing things that Jesus did so that people might listen and believe what they teach. Sing along if you wish to.
Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Sing along with me.
Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked them for alms and he held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Let me pray for the kids at Kids Church and for those who are going to be teaching them. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to teach our children about you, Jesus, and how they can be right with you. We thank you for those who share in this ministry, and we pray that you're encouraging them today. We look forward to hearing what they learn from them over morning tea as we ask those children that come along and those involved. So we ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Please see you all later as you come for morning tea. I look forward to asking you what you've learned. And also, could we just turn around to the people nearby us and say, good morning, welcome to church, the Lord be with you. Now, those at home listening in, we are very mindful of you. The Lord be with you and also with you. Well, we meet together in obedience to God's word to encourage one another while we wait for Christ to return and take us home. And so join with me in this prayer that gathers us together in God's name. Together. Almighty God, you know our hearts and nothing can be hidden from you. By your Holy Spirit, cleanse our thoughts and desires so that we may truly love you and bring honour to your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, as the Bible is read to us now by Simon, teach us today. Deliver us from unbelief and disobedience. Help us to exhort and encourage one another that none may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Produce in us the fruit of your Spirit for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles or to the screen, having a look up here, to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22, and Simon's going to read it to us now.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you please stand and let's affirm what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed together. And this is a statement from Philippians, sorry. Together. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please open up, please be seated and open up your Bibles there to Acts chapter 4 or to the handout that's inside your bulletin. and follow along with me. As I mentioned earlier, Pentecost has come. The Spirit has now come upon the apostles. God's desire is for the gospel to go forth and for people to know how they are right with God through the person and work of Jesus. And this is what the Spirit of God is enabling these apostles to do and to go forth. And we see people being changed and believing as they put their trust, as they repent and put their trust in the person and work of Jesus, as we have done, I trust. And I say, as we now come to this point, we hear last week, we saw, thank you for David coming along amongst us and showing us that teaching from that very first encounter now of a miracle, a Jesus act that the apostles now do, that people may not focus on the apostle themselves, but on the message that now Jesus, by his Spirit through them, is preaching and teaching, the message of the gospel and saving power to them. And so we come to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22, and we find that there's a reaction to this. There is a reaction indeed. And so let's hear what the reaction is and what we're to learn from it. Let me pray to start with. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you do not leave us with ideas about who you are, but you have made it known to mankind who you are and how we are to be right with you and how to live accordingly. We pray now that you help me to teach your word correctly, that we will engage with your Holy Spirit whom you've given to us as we read your word and as we think on it and how to apply to our lives. Encourage us, we pray. May we be certain of the things that we've been taught. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Let me read that to you again and let it just sink in. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That name, that authority, being Jesus. That is such an unpopular statement to make, let alone believe, in our day today. Unpopular in that it is not the statement and belief of mankind. And to speak otherwise, unpopular, and to speak otherwise would come most likely with the perception, if not the accusation, of discrimination, arrogance, and naivety. They would argue, look at all the many faiths in the world and how culturally relevant they are. What a good God to work with each person, each culture, that he does such to give them knowledge of himself in a way that is relevant for them. The statement, the belief of Acts 4 verse 12 is unpopular because it is not the statement and belief of mankind. And we also know it's unpopular in our conversations with those who do not share our faith. Because we know if we believe such a statement and speak of it as true, it will not promote harmonious conversations with many. It challenges the beliefs, it makes people feel uncomfortable, and some we may fear angry. We don't want that. We may even be asked, commanded, not to speak of such. And we also know it's unpopular in our own thinking in that we are not immune to the fear of missing out. Society has already shifted from such an exclusive way of thinking and behaving and is moving faster and faster every day away. To speak and believe of such a statement as true will leave us behind, put us on the outer, our influence perceived irrelevant. The temptation for we who are Christians is either to believe and then remain silent, or agree with society and believe it is a statement to be true as it is equally of any faith and not rock the boat. But what gives us the confidence and the courage to believe it to be true and speak of it as such is the authority and evidence of those who first made the statement. That being Peter, John, and the other apostles, for whose testimony we have written before us. Though there are many differences in society that we have learnt from Peter and John's day to today, the exclusiveness of Jesus to be the only means by which mankind be saved, and by saying saved, I mean sin forgiven, made right and at peace with God by the person and work of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection and ascension. What have been received with the same unpopularity as today could be, it is. It's unpopular then for Peter and John as it is today, as we heard in our reading this morning, what they faced from the Sanhedrin. But what gives their testimony credibility, that is Peter and John and the apostles, is that when commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, look there at verse 19, they replied, which is right in God's sight, in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him, meaning Jesus. You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter, with the other apostles, had been with Jesus before and after his resurrection. They had seen him and they had heard him, God himself in the flesh alive. They had heard him give to them his authority to be his witnesses of such, not only for their present generation, but for future generations for whom their word would be written down for us in the New Testament. The message of salvation was given to them by God to give to mankind. And the giving of the presence and empowering of the Spirit of God, Christ's Spirit at Pentecost, to them to speak it, and for it to be heard by all nations present in their own native cultural tongue, was proof, was evidence that God's desire, God's will, is for it to be spoken and heard to all mankind of all cultures. Peter, with the other apostles, knew, as unpopular as it would be received, there was no other name, no other authority, no other way under heaven given to mankind by which people must be saved. God had made his thoughts known. He has given it to mankind. He's given it to you. He's given it to me as to who he is and how he has saved mankind. Salvation is found in no one else than Jesus. For there is no other name, no other authority, no other way under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When we are tempted to believe and remain silent, or agree with society and believe it is a statement to be true as it is equally of any faith and not rock the boat. May God's Spirit work within us and remind us that the word of the apostle is God's word. And may that little word, must, prompt us to continue to pray for those who are unsaved. Speak when we have the opportunity to do so, and keep before us the priority of evangelism in all we do and support in Christian ministry. Why has Luke recorded this encounter with a lame man, his healing, the questioning and prohibition from the Sanhedrin, who could have easily just said, let's show you the body of Jesus, but they couldn't. Why is it that the apostles' words of reply to them is here? The answer is that we with Theophilus, for whom this was written originally, can be certain of the things we have been taught. Certain of our salvation through Jesus. For what we have been taught has been given by those who have been with Jesus, who have seen and have heard. Their word is trustworthy. Salvation, brothers and sisters, your salvation is secure. For there is no one else, there with no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Words to think, words to pray, words to grant us courage, words to remind us when we go from here and when we mingle and mix with our family and the world. I was reminded as I prepared this and was listening through and thinking, there's some words I always like to encourage, but encourage also is to embolden. The word under encourage means to undergird with courage. Not to bring down, but to build up. God's Spirit is within us to be able to speak the truth when the time comes, and to believe the truth when the time comes. But sometimes we might need to hear the words of Jesus saying to us, if we are ashamed of him, on the last day, he will be ashamed of us. Lord, grant that not be the case for us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are very mindful of the world in which we live these days. It is in many ways very different to Peter and John's day, but very similar. We live in a world where to say that there is no other name under which heaven that you have given by which people must be saved than Jesus is an unpopular statement and belief to hold on to. And Father God, we pray that as we believe it to be true for our salvation, you'll grant us the courage. For we have come to see and know that you, Jesus, are the one who has saved us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's say this bit of the Psalm 119 as a prayer of commitment to God, to ask him to grant us that strength, and then we'll sing No Other Name. Together, may my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise. for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. There is no other name in heaven can be found through whom we are redeemed, through whom your grace abounds, no other name can save but Jesus Christ, our Lord. we continue in a time of prayer together now. And firstly, I invite you to pray with me the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. So, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I invite Fiona up now to continue leading us in prayer. Thanks, Fiona.
Let us pray for all people and for Christ's church throughout the world. Almighty and eternal God, through the Apostle Paul, you teach us to pray and give thanks for all people. In your mercy, accept our gifts and receive our prayers. Set the nations on the paths of righteousness and peace. We remember, especially at this time, Lord, Ukraine, places in Africa and other areas where there is not peace at the moment. Lead their rulers to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare of all. We pray for the leaders of our nation, especially Anthony Albanese, Dominic Perrottet, and all who exercise authority in this land. Enable them to uphold justice, restrain wickedness, and promote integrity, peace, and truth. Loving God, we pray that you would comfort and sustain everyone in this fleeting life who is in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other distress, especially thinking of Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweitzer, Jennifer O'Neill, Brian Cave, and others who we think of quietly in our hearts now. Pour out your Spirit on your church so that all who acknowledge your holy name may agree in the truth of your word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace to all bishops and other ministers, especially our Archbishop Kanishka Raphael, for Michael Stead and all our other bishops, for Trevor, for Karen. Lord, may they set forth your life-giving word by their example and teaching and rightly administer your holy sacraments. Give grace to your people gathered here to receive your word with humble and obedient hearts and to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. We praise you for all who have died in the faith of Christ. Help us to follow their good examples that with them we may inherit your heavenly kingdom. Hear us, Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. I'm now going to lead us in a prayer that there would be an open door for the gospel. God, our Father, thank you for rescuing us from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of Jesus, the Son you love. Only in him do we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, and peace with you. Hear our prayer for all who are far away from you, enemies of you in their minds because of their evil behavior. May they come to believe the hope held out in the gospel. Open doors for the gospel in every land and enable the messengers of your truth to proclaim it clearly as they should. Help us to be wise in the way we act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity you give us. May our conversations be full of grace and seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer everyone. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord, giving thanks to you through him. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for our missionaries. We thank you, Father, for the faithful service of Kim in Ireland. And we pray, Lord, for your mercy on her as there's a time of change coming up very soon. May she continue to know your provision, delight in your presence, and trust you for her future. Lord, we pray also for all those who minister in prisons. Thank you, Lord, for their desire to continue to serve you in a place many would not want to go. Thank you, no one is beyond your forgiveness. Thank you, you can change the hardest hearts. Please, Lord, help the prison chaplains be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Help them know how well to love and serve not only the prisoners but all the staff, some who can at times be very challenging. We pray too, Father, for that you would limit the gang activities within prisons that can make it so hard for fellow prisoners. And we long, Lord, that those who are in prison would not only come to be free from the physical prison that they are in, but we long that they would be free from the spiritual blindness that some of them are currently in. We long that they would know your grace and peace and that they would return to you and love and serve you with joy and faithfulness. Please have mercy on them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord, you know in our diocese many parishes that at the moment are vacant. We pray for your mercy on Ashbury, Barara, Camden, Cherrybrook, Corrimal, Cronulla, Drummoyne, Eaglevale, Guildford, Greenacre, Kingswood, Lawson, Lidcombe, Lithgow, Liverpool South, Menangle, Mona Vale, Northbridge, Panania, Peakhurst, Mortdale, Regent's Park, Rooty Hill, Rosemeadow, St James, King Street, Sydney, Ulladulla, and West Wollongong. Father, thank you for the people who are being locums in those places at the moment. Thank you also for those who are doing the hard work of searching out to find who you choose to be the next spiritual leader of these parishes. Please sustain all those nominators. Please give the congregations patience and hope. And we pray, Father, you would oversee all the processes that are involved in selecting a new minister. Please have mercy on these patients, on these parishes, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful God, how strange it is that sometimes we cannot seem to find you. For without you, we could not breathe one breath or even have the air to breathe. Without you, no life, no love. Without you, no light or joy. Without you, no beginning or end. You are in all things and are all are in you. Our being flows from your holy breath, and to you we must return. How strange it is that sometimes we lose our bearings in the midst of such a remarkable, complete and intimate love. Wonderful God, glorify your name even in our spiritual insensitivity and times of struggle and unbelief. Amen. Let us pray the set prayer for the day. God of wisdom and love, source of all good, send your Spirit to teach us your truth and guide our actions in your way of peace. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Fiona. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to the welcoming words our Saviour Christ says to all who turn to him. Hear what the Apostle Paul says. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear what the Apostle John says. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Brothers and sisters, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and strengthen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters together in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace that's shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with a heartfelt repentance and a genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, recognizing the significance of sharing in this way. If in good conscience it would not be right for you to participate, please use this time to reflect on God's love for you in Christ. But knowing the goodness of God and times we fail to respond with love and obedience, let's now confess our sins together by saying, knowing the good Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is slow to anger. God is full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son Jesus Christ, in whom there is now no condemnation. Amen. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. We praise and thank you, our Heavenly Father, for every spiritual blessing in Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, the gift of your Spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. We who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of your Son. He loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Therefore, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, glory be to God in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for these gifts of creation and pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Amen. As we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. We do this until he returns. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Take and eat this bread in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take and drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, and you brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us in this hope that we have grasped, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as you came in today, you would have received a bulletin, a news and notes, and inside it I just draw your attention briefly to them. Thank you for praying for us, for Rosemary and I, while we're on holidays. We've both come back not with COVID, not with the flu, just with losing our voice. So some of you might be happy about that. I hope not. But we just found that our voices are a little bit croaky since we've got back. Not this Monday, but the following Monday is our monthly prayer meeting. Please join us in the foyer or set aside a time in the day to pray for the work of God in this place and beyond through our missionaries. Men, there's a men's dinner coming up on the 16th of July, Saturday, where we've invited Shine Thomas, Jessica's husband, to come and speak to us. If you would like to be at that meeting and that dinner, please place your name on the list at the back of the church on the table as you leave today. We'll also have a guest speaker coming on the Sunday, the 17th of July, from the Bible League. It'll be a deputation, and it'll be given to us by Rick George. He'll be reminding us, in the context of the passage that happens to be on that day, of the church in persecution, and to how we can pray for them, and how we can support them, and how we can find encouragement from their faith in their times of difficulty. Please plan to come along to that and to pray for that day and for Rick as he comes to speak to us. If you've not got a name tag, especially those who've joined us in the last year or so and would like to, it certainly helps me to remember names, please let Janice know or put your name on a list at the back of the church and we'll get one to you as soon as possible. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Fiona, I become.
I just wanted to share with you, thank you for all the people who pray for Scripture. While our groups may be small, sometimes the responses of the kids is extraordinary. I was recently teaching about this man who was blind and all the people following Jesus are saying, be quiet when he's calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. Anyway, one of the little children, who is all of 6 years old, said, if that had been me, I would have prayed that more people would have faith rather than that I would have my sight. So please keep praying. It's fantastic.
It is. It certainly is. We have been, Fiona and I have been greatly encouraged by the children that we teach. Small, as Fiona said, in the numbers that we have, but certainly these young people, of which most aren't from Christian homes, but their parents are encouraging them to come and learn of God from his word in the Bible, it's just astounding us. And so we're picking up on that, hopefully, in our plans with Karen to invite those children in our kindy first, second, third classes to come to gather with us for some activity with the kids in the coming days ahead. So you can be praying for that ministry. In fact, next month our mission focus is on Scripture in our local schools. Our last song that we're going to be singing together, just again, as you're having morning tea, COVID safe, thank you for the offertories that you give. And also, after prayer today, if you would like to join for prayer, then at the back, at the front of the church here, we have, there'll be Dick and Manette. We'll be up to prayer. Thank you, Dick. Thank you, Manette. Our last song is Cornerstone, and it picks up on Jesus being that name of which the world will reject, as it did in the time of Peter and John. But Jesus is the cornerstone. The world rejects, but God has made him the capstone upon the foundation upon which all mankind can hear the gospel and be saved. Let's stand and sing this together. It's gone. Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.